Welcome to the HR Room Podcast, the podcast series from Insight HR, where we talk to business leaders from around Ireland and share their advice on how to create the HR systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, simply visit www.insighthr.ie/podcast. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Okay, let's get started.
Hi all, and welcome to another episode of the HR Room Podcast. This one falls under the How to Do HR banner and is the first episode in our two-part series on implementing a successful HR initiative. In this episode, we'll be looking at some of the steps you can take to help prevent your HR initiative from failing. I'm joined by Mary Cullen, Insight HR's founder and managing director, and Liam Barton, senior HR consultant with the business. Good afternoon to you both.
Hi, Sarah.
So, as you both are very well aware, I'm sure, these days HR professionals have to wear a number of different hats. Like as well as the many day-to-day tasks that involve employee concerns and problem solving, there's also various strategic projects that are undertaken to help improve processes, company culture, and in general, help the organization to meet its strategic goals. So Mary, like, could you give me an example of some of the current HR initiatives you see being talked about in 2021?
Yeah, well, I think there just has been so much happening in 2020 and in 2021. It's really been a very challenging period for HR practitioners because organizations have looked to them for an awful lot of answers which unfortunately they just simply don't have. So if I was looking at some of the biggest trends or the biggest HR initiatives that I'm seeing over 2021, I would be saying, first and foremost, is home is the new office. Who would have thought this time last year, when we were all grappling with what we thought was only going to be a few months at home, and next thing we're, you know, 15 months on at home, and our employees like it. So many HR practitioners have been tasked with putting in place hybrid models of work and developing policies and procedures for that kind of an organizational structure. And in reality, that is a huge change management project. You know, if it's to be looked at and developed in the long term. So that would be one. That's probably the biggest one that I see out there. Diversity and inclusion. We can't forget that again, following, you know, the wave of protests that we have seen across the world after the George Floyd killing, has pretty much catapulted diversity and inclusion to the forefront of the HR agenda, and that's globally. And I'm seeing that very much in play in Ireland, right across organisations of varying sizes. Diversity and inclusion would be a huge area where HR teams are putting in place initiatives. Third one, I would think, would be the role of HR, because actually that's changing. You know, with all that's happening in the workplace at the moment, HR really needs to look at reimagining its role and thinking about, you know, how it works in this strange new hybrid and remote world. And what does HR need to do? There's a really big focus on rehumanizing the workplace, and HR are going to be central in terms of culture, in terms of learning and development, in that whole area. And I would also think that learning and development itself has become a huge area of initiative, because how are people learning now? You know, for the past 15 months, we haven't had, in an awful lot of organizations, classroom training. And we have been looking to e-learning platforms or to other virtual ways of training and development from our leadership teams right the way through to essential training. And again, that will be a huge initiative from HR. But look, the list could go on. There's just so many things happening at the moment. Don't even talk about vaccinations. Hopefully by the time this airs, we will have some clarity around how we're going to manage the vaccinated and unvaccinated in the workplace.
Yeah, or maybe not. I mean, it's been talked about for quite a while now, hasn't it? So, and there still doesn't really seem to be a very clear answer on it. There really is just so much going on.
For HR, we've really had to roll with an awful lot of change. And so have our workforces. And, you know, HR had to play that role of guiding light, steady pair of hands, working our way through uncertainty and trying to provide guidance to the organization and to the leadership team and to the employees themselves. So it's really been a huge, immense period for a lot of people. And HR have certainly been busy. I don't think we've ever been busier, Liam, have we, over the last 15 months?
No, Marion. I think one of the things I noticed is that the complexity and the volume of project and inbound related queries, I think is on a scale that we've never experienced. Because, and you're right in that you're dealing with a very fluid situation. And pre-COVID, I think, you know, we would have had a relative historical base in terms of, okay, advice and support and consultancy in terms of how to handle certain things and how to deal with them. Whereas the vast majority of, you know, consultancy work and queries and challenges that we're supporting client companies on now, you're really doing it without the background and the context of 3 to 5 years work in terms of dealing with those type of challenges. So it's a very, very new environment to advise in, which makes it both challenging and very, very interesting. Because no morning, no hour is ever the same, really, yeah. You know?
And I think, I mean, even when it comes to, you know, the legal implications for all of this. So, you know, what are the legal implications for remote working and hybrid models? You know, our structures aren't there. Our laws aren't there. And while we may have introduced, you know, the right to disconnect and the right to request remote working, which is coming, you know, at the same time, we don't have the case law. We don't have the clear and set and prescribed approaches to dealing with things. So an awful lot of what HR are doing at the moment is on the hoof. And it's probably not a place where most HR people are comfortable, because, you know, they like to know what they're doing and take their time about it. And so it has been immensely challenging for an awful lot of our clients trying to maneuver and navigate through during this period. It's exciting, though, too. It's exciting to reimagine the role and to think about what it might be in the future and how HR should be positioned in the future in terms of, you know, its strategic role and its ability to be agile and to change as an organization needs it to.
So what do you think are some of the biggest challenges then when it comes to actually introducing a new initiative for the HR team? I know we spoke about, like, because everything is new at the moment, isn't it? And structures just aren't in place. Like, what are some of the other challenges for HR? Liam, I might ask you that.
One of the things I'd mention is the level of buy-in or commitment from the senior management team or the leadership team, because I think sometimes HR within organizations can be a little bit isolated, and they really do need the support and the buy-in and the commitment and the practical commitment of the senior management team and leadership team. And, you know, reading in one of the business sections of the newspapers, you know, a lot of projects, whether it's around cultural change or change management, fail because of a lack of buy-in or commitment, practical commitment from the senior management or leadership team. And I think very often the senior management team will say, we're committed to this initiative, whether it's around, you know, hybrid working, diversity and inclusion, change management, the role of HR. But when it comes down to a practical sense of, you know, we need visibility from the senior management team. We need a commitment in terms of hours per week over a finite period of time. I think sometimes that visibility and that commitment can be lacking. So I think in terms of HR initiatives, do the senior people, the leadership team within the organization believe it's as important as the HR team believe it's important? And I think that's really vital. One of the other areas I've mentioned is the whole area of communications. And within the wider organization, how has the new initiative been received? How has it been communicated? Do staff understand their role? Have they been engaged with? One key thing I'd say, have they been listened to? Has their opinion been sought? How is it going to affect them? You know, if they're involved in an initiative or they're involved in the project, what are they going to learn? What skill set are they going to have that's going to be different after the project has been implemented? So I think buy-in from the senior management team is critical. I think the communication strategy, both in terms of formal communications, and I think one piece that's challenging, Sarah, is in terms of a lot of the communication in terms of HR initiatives can be almost an informal process. So it's talking maybe to a line manager in the corridor. It's having a one-to-one with a staff member who may have worries or concerns about something. It's engaging with them. It's hearing their anxiety. It's talking them through it. It's showing empathy and almost using the worry and concern to build in commitment, to assuage that concern. And I think the move that Mary has spoken about to, you know, a hybrid model and remote working, which we're all grappling with, you know, one of the challenges is that whole informality and some of the things that don't happen in the boardroom or don't happen in the meeting room, those quiet conversations where employees can be listened to and reassured regarding the future. I think that's a real challenge, and how we build that in to our Zoom meetings or MS Teams meetings or our formal communication strategy. So I almost think if you're having a HR initiative, you need to have almost a formal communication strategy, but also almost an under the radar communication strategy would be something I suggest, because in my experience, and I'm sure it's the same for Mary, a lot of the really important conversations don't happen in the boardroom, don't happen in the meeting room or the presentation. They happen in the corridor, they happen in the canteen, they happen at the water cooler, where someone might come up and say, you know, I'm a bit concerned, or, you know, the project, I'm not really as sure about where it's going as I ought to be. And I think it's hearing those sort of tacit concerns and being able to grapple with them and turn them around.
Thanks for that, Liam. Mary, when it comes to introducing a new HR initiative, do you think that there's like a set pattern of steps that should be taken? Does it vary depending on the initiative or the business? What's your kind of opinion on introducing a new initiative?
Yeah, well, I think it will depend very much on the initiative itself. I don't think you can set prescribe steps for instance, you know, developing a hybrid model of work and putting in place e-learning, because they're two very separate and distinct processes, although they all feed off each other, if that makes sense, and the organization is all interconnected. And sometimes I think HR practitioners aren't thinking about that. You know, what's our role? What are we there to do? We're there to ensure that the organization can deliver on its strategy. And every single initiative that we put in place is to ensure that the organization can deliver on its strategy. And sometimes I think there's that little bit of a disconnect because we jump onto something new. Oh, what are we doing around diversity and inclusion? So let's get some talks going. Let's look at mental health. Let's look at, you know, what we're doing around age or, you know, whatever the particular thing the organization chooses. But are we thinking about the organization as a whole and linking very, very clearly back to strategy? And I just don't think enough of that happens. But when it comes to introducing a new HR initiative, I think it's very much about, as Liam says, listening very carefully to employee voice. I think that's hugely important. Ensuring that you have key stakeholders interested in what you're doing. So, for instance, I often hear when maybe an organization has implemented a new learning system, a learning portal or e-learning system, and they're describing to me that there's a very low take-up amongst employees, but they expect it to improve over time. And if you ask the senior executive if they're using that portal themselves, you might find very interestingly that they're not. And if the senior management team aren't learning using that particular portal, and they're not encouraging the next line down to use that portal, and they're not creating time for people to learn and develop in the workplace because of their workloads, then of course the system is not going to be successful. So it must be very much aligned to, I guess, the key stakeholders, the employees themselves, and understanding what it is you're trying to achieve in any initiative that you undertake in HR. Would you agree, Lee?
I would, absolutely. I mean, I think the clue is in the name leader. So I think, you know, people will gravitate and follow the leadership team. And I think there's a real role for leaders to be role models within the organization. So whether it's new technology, whether it's a new learning portal, I think if the leader can talk with practical examples of how they've used it, and what they've learned, and, you know, given real concise examples to those within their department or organization, I think it makes it more authentic. Whereas I think if they're talking about it in abstract terms or sending an email encouraging it, I think they have to lead in a cultural sense by actually doing and giving real examples to their colleagues, and their colleagues will follow. But I think it's an interesting example, Mary, and it's one I've heard in my experience as well, how often, many, many times, that it's almost that it's beyond the remit of the senior management team to be involved in that type of learning and development, whereas in fact it's should be a core part of the value of the organization. So I really think it's a good example, and I think the leader has to sort of give real, concise, practical examples to the team in that regard.
So Liam, that's actually really interesting what you're saying. And if you were to give me, say, your top three tips for helping to prevent a HR initiative from failing, what would they be? If you had to kind of like capture everything into three tips, what would they be?
Three tips. Okay. Number one is going to be listening.
Yeah.
So listening to staff. And I think coming with an open mind regarding their fears and anxieties and concerns. So I would say listening to staff really, really empathetically, Sarah, because I think if COVID has taught us anything is we must understand, accept and deal empathetically with all the anxieties and worries that staff have. I think that's really, really important because they're their worries and they're real to them. The second thing I'd say is communication, communication, communication. So have a communication strategy that's both formal and informal in terms of the water cooler moment, the corridor moment, the canteen moment, the car park moment, where someone will give you that nugget of information about what they view, which they won't give in the PowerPoint presentation or the formal meeting or the boardroom meeting. I think that's really important. And the final point is, you know, fail to prepare, prepare to fail. So having a robust but adaptable plan. So, you know, not everything is going to go to plan. It doesn't in business or in life. So having some level of flexibility or adaptability and having the resources available to you, whether that's time, whether that's financial, whether that's organizational, whether it's buy-in from the senior management team, I would think having a robust plan that encompasses all of that is critically important.
Thanks so much, Liam. Mary, would your three tips be the same?
They would be the same, but I would also add that it's important with any HR initiative that you know, the HR department establish a sense of urgency, a clear project plan with activities and guidelines around what's going to be done and when, and that sense of urgency is important. My second, I guess, top tip would be to create that guiding coalition. You know, get the right team in place. Ensure that you've got support from the senior management team and the leadership and the key stakeholders, but also look to the natural leaders within the organization and make sure that you're enlisting support right throughout the organization. If I like to see HR initiatives coming from the top, the bottom, the side, every which angle that you can think of, rather than just from the top down. They're rarely successful if it's coming from the top down. And, you know, it's far more likely to be successful if you have it coming from every which way and key people involved at each and every stage of the process. And empower the employees. You know, it's important that they're short-term gains. So you can generate those short-term gains for the employees. So as Liam says, it's important that you're engaging with people both informally and formally. Now, the water cooler moments, the car park moments, the canteen moments, you know, they're harder to come by now. And people are still afraid. And you do see, even when people are back socially together in the workplace, that there is still that bit of residual fear. Hopefully over time that will change and we'll be more comfortable collaborating together in the same space. And that informality, which has been a little bit lost, we will hopefully regain again. But, you know, empower your employees, because if you want your HR initiative to succeed, you need them. You need them to buy in.
That's brilliant. Thanks a million for those tips, guys. Just before we wrap up then, I am going to just look back over my notes here and give you three key takeaways. And you can tell me afterwards if I've missed the point completely, but hopefully I haven't. So when it comes to implementing a successful HR initiative, what's really important, well, there's a few things that's really important, but I suppose probably the biggest thing is the level of buy-in from the management team. So a lot of initiatives fail because of this. And that needs to really incorporate kind of, you know, a level of commitment from the management team, whereby they might commit to spending X amount of hours per week over a period of time, actually working on promoting this initiative. And there also needs to be visibility there from them. So the organization needs to see that buy-in. So ensure you have those key stakeholders invested in what you're doing. The second, and probably actually just as important, is the communication. So how has it been received? How has your initiative been implemented? What do employees feel about the initiative? Have they been listened to? You know, employees need to be treated with empathy and respect. And you should really be listening to their fears, talk them through it, and hold their hands, metaphorically, of course, given COVID, etc., and have a formal communication strategy as well as an informal one. So as Liam and Mary both mentioned there, those kind of water cooler talks, which might not happen in a physical basis quite at the moment yet, but those informal chats do need to happen still. And then the third one is that it's important to have a sense of urgency. So have a clear project plan in place with guidelines and timeframes. Keep the fires burning and involve all levels of stakeholders. Engage with people formally and informally, as we've already mentioned, to really get the buy-in that you need, and create that sense of urgency. Those were my three takeaways from this episode. How did I do?
Brilliant as always, Sarah.
Excellent, Sarah. Excellent.
Thanks to you both for joining us for today's episode. And yeah, I'll catch up with you again soon.
Thanks for joining us today on the HR Room podcast, the podcast series from Insight HR that helps you create the human resources systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, go to www.insighthr.ie/podcast. That's www.insighthr.ie/podcast. We'd love it if you subscribe, like, and share the show with any friends and colleagues who are looking for fresh ideas on how to create the ideal workplace for their business. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or an on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Thanks, and see you soon.